Sharon, I was going to say we lost Rayanne. Rayanne, did you check out what I asked you to check out? No, she didn't check out what I asked her to check out. Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't help her. She's 15 years old, all right? Trust me, she don't need mama's help. You can't talk. Just a simple nod, yes or no. Did you guess it or did you check it out? No, Rayanne. Okay, does anyone of you men, not the ladies, but the men, any one of you men know what I'm talking about with Rayanne?
It's not about Facebook.
No, it's got nothing to do with Facebook.
Oh. Bring your Bible to school.
Bring your Bible to school day, October the 4th, 2018. Now, I asked you last week to check with your grandkids if they knew about it. Did anyone in the room do that besides Danny King?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Good.
I couldn't get any answer out of Rachel's tummy.
Okay.
Is it on TV?
Huh?
It's on TV.
Is it on TV?
Yeah.
Good. Good. I'm telling you, it's time for our schools to make the news for something other than shootings, and this is an opportunity. But if we don't pursue it, that day is going to come and go, and nothing's going to happen. Okay? Check with your grandchildren. Check with your friends, Rayanne. Glenn, I'm going to ask you, man to man, please make sure she does this. Okay? Trust me, next week it's going to be on Glenn, not on Rayanne. I promise you that. Promise you. Absolutely promise you. For the record, I found out who is sponsoring this. For those that are concerned about the sponsor, it's sponsored by Focus on the Family, in case you ever heard of that organization. So this is a real deal. But please, 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 let's participate in this. Even if we're the only ones, let's participate in this. Psalm 119, verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I'm curious, how many of you ever in your life at one time or another got a raise? Raise your hand. Okay, you got a raise, all right? When we get a raise, we're happy, are we not? Why? Because the money went up. He says, I rejoice in the way of your testimony as much as in riches. Okay? Have you ever opened God's Word and found something there that was so beneficial to you, you said, wow, thank you God for that.
Amen.
Okay? I promise you, those moments are as good as getting a raise. I promise you that they are.
Yeah.
But if we don't open God's Word, we're not going to have them. We're just not. God's Word is there, but if it's never open, it's not going to do us any good. My question is this, why would we not seek God's help? It's a very simple question. Why would we not seek God's help? This is the God who knows everything. Why in the world would we not go to Him for wisdom in making the right choice? It only makes sense. Yesterday, I met a little girl named Campbell. Campbell was at my grandson Aiden's soccer game. And Campbell was sitting close to us, and Campbell said something that was profound. After she said this, I said, Campbell, can I share that with my church tomorrow night? She said, yes, you can. Campbell was catching love bugs. I said, Campbell, catch them all or else they're going to be everywhere. But Campbell asked her mom the question, "Mom, what do love bugs eat?" What do love bugs eat? Does anybody in the room know what love bugs eat?
No.
Okay.
Hey.
Her mom said, "I don't know, Campbell." Campbell said this. She says, "Ask Google." Ask Google. Why would you not ask Google? Come to find out, love bugs actually do have a specific thing that they eat. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You got to ask Google. But folks, if a six-year-old can say, "Ask Google," knowing that's where the answer is at, how in the world is it that we as Christians don't know to go to God?
Ask God.
It is so right there in our face.
Yeah.
It's so right there. Pray for our leaders. David, you're close. Pray for our leaders, please.
Our most kind and gracious Almighty Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the blessing of living in this country, for the freedoms and the liberties that we have. And Father, I pray your watch care and your hedge around President Trump. There are so many in opposition now that are almost lunatics, Father. And Father, I'm concerned for his safety, but I know that you know all that's going to happen and all that he's going to accomplish. And Father, be with the rest of his cabinet. Be with all the politicians, Father. Give them the unction of the Spirit. Allow them to see the direction we're headed. And maybe together we can turn these things around. Father, be with us. Be with all our government leaders, city, county, state, and in the United States. Lead us and guide us. Forgive us of our many shortcomings, for we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Chronological study of the Bible, Judges 16, is where we're at. But we're only going to be at Judges tonight for just a very short period of time. We dropped off with verse 30 last Sunday night, and Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. The title continues to be stronger than ever. Notice this, even after letting God down, Samson was stronger than ever. Now, the very best illustration of this, that I'm aware of, did anybody figure it out? I teased you with this last Sunday night. Somebody asked me, who is that best illustration? Anybody got any idea? Without saying anything out loud, do you think you got an idea who it is? Okay? I don't know what that is. It don't matter. How many letters does it have? Five letters? I think you're probably close. Peter, is that what you're saying? Peter, I think, is the best illustration of this. Not Paul. Paul never knew what this felt like. Now, true, he was a monster, and he had been a scary, scary monster, but that was before he got saved. We are going to move very, very quickly tonight for two reasons. Number one, I want to show you some things that you are very familiar with, but in a different way. Secondly, most of you will never have to deal with this, and I don't want to bore you. However, I do want you to feel what Peter feels, so that the next time a preacher goes down, and trust me, it'll happen soon. It's happening a lot. The next time a preacher goes down, I want you to feel what he is feeling. Just feel what Peter is feeling. Don't try to turn in your Bible. Don't even try to take notes. Just watch the screen, and we're going to rocket through this just feeling Peter's feelings. Matthew 16 is where we're going to start, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter, remember we're watching Peter and how Peter feels. Peter took him. He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Notice that. Peter is rebuking Jesus, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." In today's terms, no, you won't. No, you won't, Jesus. John 13, we go next, verse 5. After that, He, Jesus, poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter. Again, we're just wanting to feel Simon's feelings. And Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, he says to Jesus, Thou shalt never wash my feet. In today's terms, oh no, don't you dare. He's saying that to Jesus, don't you dare. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now feel that. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In today's terms, can I change my answer? Matthew 26. And I know we're moving fast. I just want you to feel the feelings. These are all familiar passages. 33 in Matthew 26. Peter answered and said unto him, unto Jesus, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I can't speak for these other guys, Peter says, but I've got you. I've got you. Remember this one. This is going to come up in just a minute. 34, Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Sorry, Jesus, but you are mistaken. In today's terms. Feel what Peter's feeling. Likewise, also said all the disciples. We get on to Peter at his point, but don't forget it's all of them saying this. All of them. John 18, verse 7. Then ask he them again. This is Jesus speaking to the soldiers coming to arrest him. Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Why are we not going? Here we go. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Peter says, Jesus, I told you, I got this. I got this. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. What do you think you're doing? The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Mark 14, and again, I know we're moving fast, just feel the feelings. 66, as Peter was beneath in the palace, this is the trial of Jesus, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming herself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. You're one of his followers. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And he didn't flinch. We forget that rooster crowed twice.
Yep.
Rooster crowed twice. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them! And he denied it again. That's number two. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. You've got the accent. But he began to curse and to swear. This is Peter. Begins to curse and to swear. I'm not going to say the words that he said because he was speaking a different language, thank the Lord. Saying, I know not this man whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Matthew 26:75 and Luke 22:62 both say he wept bitterly. Feel that. Feel that. John 21 comes next, verse 15. When they had dined, Ray read this earlier tonight, this is after the resurrection, but before Jesus has gone back to heaven. Jesus appears to them and performs a miracle. They catch a bunch of fish. Jesus actually cooks them dinner. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest. That's G25 agape. Very important.
Yes.
Agape, thou me more than these. Referring back to Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said unto them, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Feel that. Jesus says, Peter said, I can't speak for these other guys, but I'll never, ever, ever. And so Jesus turns it around on him. This is after Peter has denied him publicly. This is after Peter has gone out and wept bitterly, and Jesus throws it right back in his face. He, Peter, saith unto him, Jesus, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love. That's G5368 phileo. What's the difference? Agape is perfect love.
Yep.
1 Corinthians 13, patient, kind, gentle. Phileo, that's brotherly love. That's the kind of love we have for each other. I love you, but don't tell me your problems, I don't care. Notice the difference in words, though. Jesus said, lovest thou me? And Peter says, yeah, I'm fond of you. Jesus says, lovest thou me? And Peter answered, yes, I'm fond of you. This is after Peter denied him at the crucifixion and after the resurrection. Jesus asks a very specific question and Peter gives a very loose answer. He said unto him, feed my lambs. That's a very important phrase. Don't blow it again, Peter. Don't blow it again. Jesus saith unto Peter again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, agape, thou me. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest thy love, phileo. I'm fond of you. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Don't blow it again. He saith unto him the third time, the same number of times Peter had denied him, by the way.
Yeah.
This whole thing is psychologically just pounding Peter. We lose track of what's really going on underneath the surface with this. He said it the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest phileo.
Oops.
Jesus switches terms here. Jesus lets him off the hook. Phileo thou me? Peter, are you really fond of me? Really? Really? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me. Now, until I understood the difference between the two words for love, I thought Peter is saying, Jesus, come on, you're not dumb. That's not what's going on here.
Right.
That is not what's going on here. I believe Peter's grieved because he had actually given up. He had quit. Yeah. He had quit. And he knew Jesus wouldn't let him. Peter, you're not quitting. You're not quitting. Even if I have to let you off the hook and let you just phileo, you're not quitting. Verse 3 of the same chapter. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. This is after the resurrection. Why were they not going witnessing? They say to him, we also go with thee. After the resurrection, why are they not going witnessing? They're going fishing. They quit. They quit. And Jesus says, oh no, I don't think so. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Jesus shows up, they throw out the nets, and they got all these fish comes in. All one big story. After the crucifixion and after the resurrection, they had all quit. But Jesus wasn't going to let it happen. Verse 17, same story, continuing on. He saith unto the third time, Simon, son of Jesus, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved and said unto the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love phileo. Peter will not go to agape. Why? Because he knew Jesus knew the difference.
Yeah, boy.
Amen.
Jesus saith unto it, feed my sheep. Don't blow it again. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter is in fact going to be crucified. Peter, at his crucifixion, the story goes that he felt so unworthy of dying the same death that Jesus died, he requested they crucify him upside down, and they granted his request.
That's right.
And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Don't blow it again. Don't blow it again. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Same story, same chapter. This is John, which also leaned on his breast to supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? John's the one who said this. You can see that in John 13:23-25. Peter, right after, don't blow it again. Four times Jesus says, don't blow it, Peter. Immediately, Peter looks over at John. Peter said to Jesus, what shall this man do? What about him? What about him? He's blowing it. Peter is blowing it. He goes right back to being Peter. Again, after Peter denied him at the crucifixion and after the resurrection. Acts chapter 2. Now this is just after the Holy Ghost fills the room and they all speak in other tongues. So the Holy Ghost now has been given to the believers. This is something that very few people in the Old Testament had. Samson had it. Didn't speak in tongues, but he had the Spirit. Now the Spirit is poured out on the believers. In Acts chapter 2, notice the difference. Verse 14, but Peter, what about him? Peter, cussing Peter, standeth up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Drop down to verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Drop down to 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is just a few weeks after his humiliation at the crucifixion. Less than 6 weeks later, he is stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. The Holy Spirit is our power. Even after we blow it. Now we're going to really pick up the pace now. 1 Peter 1, written by this dude. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, that word holy means belonging to God. On the front of your Bible it says Holy Bible. Those two words have definitions. Okay? The word Bible means library, collection of books. Holy means belonging to God. This is God's library is what that means. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What did Peter just say? What did Peter just say? Be holy in all manner of conversation? Now folks, it'd be easy to mock Peter, and quite frankly, I used to do it. It's better to notice what he has learned and how God used it. Drop down to chapter 2, verse number 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, God used the guy who cussed at Jesus' trial to communicate this to everyone who would ever have a Bible. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. Peter knew exactly what those things were. He said, put them down. Put them down. Drop down to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the guy that said, you are mistaken, Jesus. You're mistaken. Drop down to verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is the person who slashed an ear off when he thought he was getting arrested. Drop down to 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they speak no guile. This is the guy that says, no, you won't. No, you won't. Drop down to verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I don't know the guy. Having a good conscience, the guy that wept bitterly, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. This is the guy who had full-blown quit. Drop down to 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The guy that said, don't you dare, Jesus, don't you dare. Drop down to 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Notice that. A witness of the sufferings of Christ, I can tell you I was there, is what he says here. Also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. He skips one huge detail in that statement. I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Then he jumps to him also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Wasn't there something that happened in between those two things? But he is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We've got to give him that, so God was fine with it. Drop down to 2 Peter. Yeah, he wrote two books. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Anybody ever heard that one before? You better raise your hand. You better raise your hand. Okay, this is your Sunday school passage.
Oh, yeah.
Alright? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, said the guy who denied Jesus. Drop down to verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus was there when that happened. Let's look at it. Back up, verse 18. Then this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now we're going to look at Matthew 17 where it actually happened. We're going to look at it. Verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter. Peter, tell the truth, I was there. I was there. Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, the guy that was there, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Thank you for letting us be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles or memorials. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, this is big. Watch this, okay? While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. While Peter is speaking, notice that. While Peter is still saying these words, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, we've always taken that to say, listen to Jesus. But what was the voice actually saying? Peter, stop talking! Stop talking, Peter! Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they have been saved. This is a big one too. After they have been saved, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have been born, that better than not to have known the way of righteousness after they have known it, to turn from the holy commanded delivered to them. This passage is taught by most denominations saying that you can lose your salvation. Okay? This passage is used by most denominations to say that you can lose your salvation. If it says they lost their salvation, what about him? The guy that denied Jesus. Did he not do all of those things? Did he not do all of those things? Drop down to 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him at peace, without spot, and blameless. Folks, there's many more instances in these two tiny books. I actually cut it in half. I cut it in half. How could God use him to write all this stuff after correcting Jesus and publicly denying him? I've never seen anyone put all this stuff together like this. I've always wanted to. God is not limited by our past. He's not limited by our past. As I said last week, I hope you never need this sermon, but for me, this is gold. This is gold for me. Who in the world understands about how a Christian should talk more than Peter? I submit to you, no one who ever lived knows more about this subject than the guy who wrote about it. It became a tool that he was most able to use. If he quit, that tool, that particular tool, lost its effectiveness because he knows how to use it best. I want you to imagine that David invents a brand new power tool that he can use to build a house by himself in one day. One day. How much money would that tool be worth? The problem with this tool is this. Only his fingerprint will turn it on. David says, you know what? I'm just going to keep quiet. I'm just going to keep quiet. Where David says, you know what? I can use this to change the world. I submit to you that's exactly what Peter did. One of my greatest desires, personally, Danny King, one of my greatest desires is to help at-risk pastors, and trust me, they are all at risk. Being a pastor is one of the most how do I say this? You feel totally alone. Totally alone. See, how could that be? We're surrounded by people. You're surrounded by people who, as soon as you say one bad word, they're going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
As soon as you don't visit them in the hospital, they're going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
As soon as they preach something that you don't like, they're going to tell everybody. One of my greatest desires is to help at-risk pastors. These are pastors in office that are at risk of falling. And those who have fallen, like Art Gibbs helped me. Art Gibbs helped Danny King because Art Gibbs knew how to help Danny King. Encourage those who have fallen to use it, not be quiet.
Amen.
Encourage those who have fallen, like Peter, like Samson, like Art Gibbs. Use it. Don't keep quiet. What I'm going to put on the screen next, I mean from the depths of my heart. For example, many wish Jimmy Swaggart would just go away. If I'd have put this statement up at the beginning of the sermon, it would have been a whole different thing to most people. I wish he would highlight it. I wish Jimmy Swaggart would preach with every ounce of breath he's got. Preachers, don't let it happen to you and let me help you. Man, I could have used Jimmy Swaggart. It is terrifying. And Dad, you know what I'm about to say. It is terrifying thinking that you will lose your job if you don't change. It is terrifying thinking you will lose your job if you don't change, but you have no idea how to. I know what that feels like. Some might say, well, just do it. Just do it. And I submit to you, when I was at risk as a pastor, if I had admitted it, everybody would have said, just change. Just change. Just change. When me and Michelle were starting off in a relationship, before it turned clearly sinful, several people told me, you need to break that off. But you know what? She was my safe spot. She was the one person I knew wouldn't judge me. She was the one person I didn't have to worry about saying that you're wrong. And emotionally, pastors get drained. Drained. But you're supposed to pretend that everything's great. Because nobody's going to understand. All of us, folks, all of us have things in our lives we wish we could just do. All of us do. You let him get caught doing the wrong thing, and God will hang him on a cross. I'm sorry, it's true.
Yep.
It's true. If that ever happens, you come to me. I'll be there for you. Who better than someone who has been there to help? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Okay? If you're struggling with cigarettes, don't come to Danny. Danny don't understand it. But if you're an at-risk pastor, you come to me. You come to me. Peter was stronger than ever. However, people are not so understanding. Peter's most famous quote is, I don't know the man. Not his two books of the Bible. Samson will always be remembered for his sin. Always. Why is that? Get ready to have your toes stomped on. Okay, I'm warning you, drag them back out of the seat because I'm going to lay the hammer down. It makes lazy Christians feel better about themselves, and that's the entire point.
Yep.
It makes lazy Christians feel better about themselves. Hey, at least they didn't do that. I haven't done much in my Christian life, but you know what? I didn't do what Brother King did. I didn't do what Jimmy Swaggart did. The problem is that many of them haven't done anything. And if you don't do anything, there's nothing to criticize. Which, by the way, is why a lot of people won't even try. Because they're so afraid of being criticized, they'd rather just sit back and do nothing. Okay? It's no different than a person with his arms tied behind his back because the arms refuse to try. It cripples churches. Criticism is not a spiritual gift.
That's right.
Judges 16, back to our story with Samson, and we're going to finish it up. Then his brethren, his brothers, Samson's brothers, and all the house of his father came down and took him. This is after he has been crushed, bringing this building down with 3,000 Philistines on the roof. He brings the whole thing down. His father and his brothers come and took him. Imagine digging through that rubble. Imagine the carnage of that rubble. Through all the bodies. Feel it. I want you to feel it. Imagine what Samson's body looked like. Because he liked what Philistine women looked like. Let that sink in deep. Now imagine Jesus' body beaten and hanging on the cross. I want you to see it in your imagination. Because we like our weakness. That thing that we're so ready to go say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm sorry, I did it again. Jesus, forgive me, I'm sorry, I did it again. That's the stuff that beat him to death on the cross. In the same way that that building came down and crushed Samson, our sins that we choose because we like is what put Jesus on the cross. They took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. Notice this. They take him back home and not one Philistine woman showed up to his funeral. That thing that we love so much, after it is thrown, it has used us up and thrown us away, will not be there for us anymore. Smokers don't visit their friends in the hospital with cancer. Drinkers don't visit their friends at the rehab. Think it through. This thing that we love so much, that we turn to so readily because it answers our emotional needs in the moment, ask yourself, where is it going to be when I need it? And he judged Israel 20 years. Now that's a troubling statement right there. Samson judged Israel 20 years. Again, don't forget who the judges were, and this is so important to understanding the book. They held no titles. There was no king of Israel. God wanted it that way. No king. They were given special abilities by God to bring justice. Not even close to Samson or the rest of them. Not even close to Samson. They did what they thought was right, which will not always be right. Again, not even close to Samson. But Samson was, by definition, someone who brought justice. But how much better of a job could he have done? Hebrews 11:32 says just the word Samson in the list. Samson's listed in the roll call of faith. He's listed in the roll call of faith. And I ask you why? He's listed in that roll call of faith for one moment. He said, God, give me my strength just one more time. That right there was his only shining moment. His only one. Because of the blood of Jesus, he was not stuck in his past. God could have said, Samson, you keep being a circus clown for the next 30 years, God would have been totally just. Samson would have got less than he deserved. Peter was not stuck in his past. I am not stuck in my past. And I hope you never have to feel this. But this is 100% my favorite message. Number one, you do not have to be stuck in your past. Hebrews 9, and we're going to close with this, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He, Jesus, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for Danny King. Amen. For Jimmy Swaggart. For Samson. For Peter. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, notice this, purge your conscience from dead works. What I did, if I allow it to harm my conscience, it's saying the blood of Jesus is not enough. If Peter allowed what he did to harm his conscience, he's saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, your blood's not enough. And I can actually hear Peter say that. Whatever you have done, even while saved, is forgivable. Accept it. Accept it and ask God what He wants you to be doing right now. This is what I would say to an at-risk pastor. This is what I would say to a fallen pastor. But the last thing in the world I would tell him is, you just disappear. That's the last thing I would tell him. If I was talking to Jimmy Swaggart, I'd tell him that right there. I'd tell him that right there. To serve the living God. My past does not eliminate my responsibility.
Amen.
I hope this changes how you look at Jimmy Swagger. I hope it changes how you look at Peter. I'm begging you, change the way you look at the next preacher to come down. And you probably know his name now. He just hadn't done it yet, or at least he hadn't been caught. Preachers, they don't want to do these things, but they don't know how not to do these things. I pray to God that God uses sermonaudio.com to get this out, because I want to help somebody. I want to help somebody so bad. Father, thank You for loving me so much that before You ever said, let there be light, You said, Danny King is going to be one of mine. You chose me before the foundation of the world. Thank You that when the right time came, You sent Your Son to the cross to pay for my sins that I had not even committed yet. He suffered on that cross to pay for sins I hadn't even done yet. I thank You that knowing that I was going to do them, You still created me in my mother's womb in 1966. And You allowed me to be born knowing what I was going to do. I thank you that after I was born, you gave me loving parents that worked hard to provide for me, knowing what I was going to do. I thank you that you protected me from myself. When I was a stupid teenager with a very fast car, you didn't let anything happen to me, knowing what I was going to do. I thank you that you reached out to me and called me to yourself, knowing what I was going to do. Thank you. God, thank you so much for that day when you pointed out that your word is your word and you asked me, why don't I read it? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me so many things and then bringing so many people into my life that I could share these things with, knowing that I was going to turn around and embarrass you in front of those very people. Thank you that you wouldn't let me quit. Thank you that after your patience with me, you set it up to attend my dad's church. And thank you that you put it on his heart to make me teach. Lord, I don't know what's next. I don't want to disappoint you again. Give me somebody to help. Please give me somebody to help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.